This morning, the theme is love is persistent. Prayer lies at the heart of every Christian, and we've put prayer at the heart of our life together here at St. Margaret's. Now, there are many forms of prayer, a supplication. It is on, and it's on here. It's on. Right. As I was saying, prayer is at the heart of every Christian and the heart of our life together here at St. Margaret's. There are many forms of prayer. There's supplication, there's intercession, there's meditation, and so on. Henry Morgan, who used to be the rector over at Kingswood, who I've worshipped or prayed with for over 30 years, got a wonderful book saying, "The God You Already Know." And he says that the prayer is anything that nurtures the relationship between us and God. It's as simple as that. So it'll take many forms, and some prayers will probably work better for us at some times than at others. Having said that, I want to be doing a mini-series on prayer. I really did the Serenity Prayer a few weeks ago, and I hope you've all got a copy of the Serenity Prayer and the Jesus Prayer, because the Jesus Prayer is what I want to talk about this morning, and then at some future date about the Lord's Prayer. Now, I'm sure you all remember exactly what I said about the Serenity Prayer a few weeks ago. What I wanted to get across was how that prayer transforms lives. I've seen it used by the people in the Alcoholics Anonymous 12-step program, and their lives, which were broken, are completely transformed by it. The serenity to accept the things they cannot change, the courage in their lives to change the things that they can, and the wisdom to know the difference between the two. And it's just a prayer that they say at the beginning of the AA meetings and fellowship meetings, and they buy into it, and it really works for them. It's a prayer of immense power. This morning I want to explore the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I fell in love with this prayer through meditating on the seven last words of Christ on the cross. I did that 17 times between 1991 and 2012, probably spent 24 hours in solid prayer about the seven prayers. And the one that touched me most was the so-called repentant sinner on the cross beside Jesus. He simply prayed, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." For many years, I wrongly thought that he was the only person in the Bible to call Jesus by his first name. He was obviously a sinner, but he had the courage to quite simply say, "Jesus." And Jesus gave him that gracious response, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Whoever we are, whatever we have done, we can call upon Jesus and he will hear us. Now, I said that I was wrong when I thought that the repentant sinner was the only one. Blind Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." 10 lepers cried out, "Jesus, master, have mercy upon us." And finally, the poor madman in the Gadarene graveyard saw Jesus afar and ran and worshipped him, and in a loud voice shouted, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of the most high God?" All these people were at their wits' end, quite literally in one case, and appealed to the person of Jesus. And that's what laid the foundation for my love of the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. One of its roots is the great Christological prayer in Philippians. Every tongue should acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the Annunciation, the angel tells Mary, "That holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be the Son of God." But the source prayer that I like most comes from the story of Luke's Gospel, the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, remember, prays telling God how good he is, how good he, the Pharisee, is not how good God is, and how good he is in his own eyes. And the tax collector would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And the word for mercy in all those cases is what we call to be propitious, familiar to us at 8 o'clock, for he is the propitiation of our sins. Draws on the first letter of John. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice, propitiation, for our sins. Jesus' very name means Yahweh saves. And again, some of you may know that I see a close connection between the name of God and the name of Jesus. In Exodus chapter 3, and God said, I am that I am. And in my French Bible, that comes as je suis qui je suis. Je suis, very close to Jesus. So Jesus then is very close to God. And when you pray to Jesus, you are praying to God the Father. Gradually, all the elements of the Jesus prayer fell into place. And by the 6th century, in the life of St. Philemon, he recommends the prayer as, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. Later, the words, a sinner, became attached to the prayer. In 1 Timothy, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. And again, that phrase comes into our 1662 service. During the 18th and 19th centuries, the prayer spread through Russia. There was a famous Saint Seraphim of Saros who spent 1,000 days and nights kneeling and reciting the Jesus Prayer. It's become a core part of the Orthodox tradition of prayer. It's a wonderfully succinct prayer. I personally find the long prayers we sometimes say here rather tiresome. There's a profound debate to be had as to whether, if God knows all and is all-powerful, our prayers should be more about changing our attitude and actions than asking him to intervene in some specific way. One of my unique contributions to contemporary prayer is to misuse the traditional prayer, O God, hear my prayer and let my cry come unto thee. No, it should be, O God, hear my prayer and let thy cry come unto me. Prayer is as much about reception as it is about transmission. It says in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your inner room, shut your door, pray to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on like pagans, for they think that by their many words they'll be heard. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So the Jesus Prayer is very often used in conjunction with breathing. The first half, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, is used whilst breathing in. The second half, have mercy on me, the sinner, is used while breathing out. And I invite you now to try that. So breathe in, and as you breathe in, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. And you breathe out, have mercy on me, a sinner. So, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, breathe in, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's been described as inviting God in, and second, a sigh of both sorrow and longing to be enfolded in the mercy and the loving kindness of God, expelling the old and inviting in the new. The concept of God's loving mercy, God's persistent love, comes from Tyndale's translation of the Hebrew word hesed. That's why it fits in with our theme this morning of love's persistence. Pope Francis enlarges on this idea in his book, The Name of God is Mercy. He says, because he is God, he is mercy. And because mercy is the first attribute of God, mercy is the name of God. And he goes on to write, a believer should open up to the mercy of God, open his heart and himself, and allow Jesus to come towards him by approaching the confessional with faith, and he should try to be merciful with others. Well, we don't as Anglicans go to the confessional, but in the Jesus Prayer, the confessional comes to us. Bishop Simon Barrington Ward, probably the leading English exponent of the Jesus Prayer, suggests it may be helpful to use the Ignatian method. St. Ignatius of Loyola suggests putting yourself into the Bible story. Bishop Barrington Ward writes, imagine a scene from the Gospels. You enter into the scene and see yourself and imagine yourself as one of the people in that scene. Then, while you're in that situation, you imagine Jesus approaching you and speaking to you. He says, as that happened, each time I found myself moving to the Jesus Prayer and through the steady beat of the prayer, being given a fresh realization, not only of the presence of Jesus Christ, but also, through that presence, a discernment of the will of God for me at that time, and through the gospel scene. So you could, for example, put yourself in the place of the publican, and imagine Jesus coming over and responding to you. What would you want to hear him say? Above all, the Jesus Prayer is not some mantra to be chanted endlessly, unless you happen to be a Russian saint. It's an invitation to Jesus through the Holy Spirit to come into your life. Remember what St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans. I love this passage. My brother Neil read it with tremendous force at my father's memorial service, and we used it unfortunately, only a few months later, at Neil's own funeral, comes from Romans chapter 8. The Spirit intercedes on our behalf with sighs too deep for words. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so through the Jesus Prayer, we invite the Holy Spirit to use our prayer to unite us in the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Amen.